You are listening to the Sex and Psychology Podcast, the sex ed you never got in school and won't get anywhere else. I am your host, Dr. Justin Lay Miller. I am a social psychologist and research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author of the book, Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. People today are having less sex compared to generations past, but the kind of sex we're having these days is a little different. And one of the biggest changes is that a greater proportion of the sex we're having is casual sex. Casual sex is something that a lot of people have very polarized opinions about. Some people love it and think it's great, while others find it to be a source of major regret. And the scientific literature on casual sex is an equally mixed bag, with some studies linking it to largely positive outcomes, others to largely negative outcomes, and yet others pointing to pretty mixed conclusions. All of this points to a need for better education around casual sex so that people can determine first whether it's even right for them, and second, what they can do to increase their odds of positive and pleasurable casual experiences. So that's what today's show is all about. It's the Everything You Need to Know guide to having good casual sex. Some of the topics we'll explore include how to set boundaries in casual relationships, as well as what kinds of boundaries are worth considering, the kinds of questions you should be asking yourself before you even have casual sex, how to avoid awkwardness and drama, and so much more. I am joined once again by Gabrielle Cassell. She is a sex and wellness journalist committed to helping people feel the best they can in their own bodies. Her work has appeared all over in the media, such as Men's Health, Shape, Cosmopolitan, Well and Good, Self, and Women's Health. This is going to be an important and very practical conversation. Stick around, and we're going to jump in right after the break. Why are women often hesitant to talk about their sexual desires? It's often because they don't feel safe doing so or are worried about being shamed or judged. This stems from the fact that, historically, society just hasn't prioritized women's sexual needs. But times are changing. Enter Fleur, a sex-positive dating app where women's desires are the priority, and you can be anyone, want anything, and regularly try something new. Fleur has gathered a community of people ready to openly discuss their fantasies and bring them to life. There is no judgment here, and women can elevate the conversation's intensity only when they desire. The app has a safe mode to prevent unwanted explicit content or offensive messages. However, that's just a backup option because the app draws users who respect personal boundaries and adhere to the principles of consent. Fleur provides a comfortable and safe space to explore your sexuality and find pleasure, whether you're currently looking for something casual, long-term, or you're just open to possibilities. Check the show notes for the link or head over to fleur.com. That's F-L-U-R-E.com. The Fleur dating app is a place where you can be your authentic sexual self and tap into your fantasies and desires. In Fleur, pleasure awaits. If you love the science of sex as much as I do, consider becoming a friend of the Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. The Kinsey Institute is the world's premier research organization on sex and relationships, and you can help them continue the legacy of Dr. Alfred Kinsey, whose pioneering research changed everything we think we know about sex. Visit kinseyinstitute.org to make an impact. Your donations can help support ongoing research projects on critical topics. You can also show your support by following Kinsey Institute on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for supporting sex science. Okay, Gabrielle, let's talk about casual sex. Now, we're going to be covering the guide to good casual sex in this episode. And I usually like to start my episodes with definitions so that everybody's on the same page. So let me start by asking, what does the term casual sex mean to you?
So I have a colleague, Rachel Wright, who has this great definition of sex, which is that sex is any meaningful act of pleasure. So now we have to tack casual onto that definition. And casual generally applies that it's existing outside of a long-term or committed relationship and is not done with any strings, exclusivity, or commitment attached.
Yeah. Now, different people, if you would ask them how to define casual sex, are going to define this in different ways. And in fact, I've seen it defined in many different ways in the scientific literature. And over time, I've come to think like, gosh, I just don't even really know the best way to define this anymore. Because, you know, as you mentioned, people often define casual sex as being sex that occurs in a context where there isn't commitment. Mm. But I think there can be cases where you can have commitment to a casual sex relationship if it's an ongoing thing. So for example, in the context of, say, a friends with benefits relationship, you might be committed to keeping that arrangement alive for months or years. You know, sometimes these relationships go on for a long time. And so I've always kind of like struggled to pin down exactly what casual sex is, just because it can look so different depending on the nature of the arrangement between people. Cause it can go from anything from just a one night thing where there's like no communication beforehand and no communication afterwards, to something that goes on for many years and where there's also some element of friendship or intimacy between the partners as well. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing the definition. I just wanted to say, like, people are kind of all over the map with it. And it makes sense, just because casual sex can mean a lot of different things depending on like how you set up that relationship with the other person.
Right. I mean, it's like all the things in the sex and sexuality space, be it the word queer or the term anal sex. It's like, well, what does that mean to the specific person who is using it out or seeking it out?
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the benefits and drawbacks of casual sex. So as with any type of relationship, whether it's romantic or non-romantic, monogamous or non-monogamous, there are going to be some good things and some not so good things, right? There's always a trade-off. So what are some of the potential positives and potential negatives of casual sex?
Yeah. So casual sex offers up folks many of the benefits of sex, but in this more casual setting, whatever that means. So that could be the access to touch from another person. That could mean the opportunity to experience orgasm, which can be stress busting, mood improving, pain relieving, and so much more. It can also offer up opportunities for folks to explore different kinks that they might have, different kinds of sex that they haven't explored before or don't have the opportunity to explore in a current or a past committed partnership. It can allow them to experience a specific kind of intimacy. You know, even if it is casual, there is an intimacy to getting naked or having sex with someone that can be really appealing to some folks. And on top of that, it gives you access to all of these things within the low time commitment of a more casual dynamic.
Yeah. So casual sex is not inherently casual. You know, I always think it's kind of a misnomer in the sense that it implies that it's almost like this transactional kind of relationship that's totally devoid of any intimacy or connection between the partners, where it's just purely physical. But in fact, what we see is that in most casual encounters, there are elements of intimacy, whether that is some cuddling afterwards or some intimate communication or gazing into each other's eyes. Like, there can be acts of intimacy in a casual encounter. And as you said, you can tap into all of the benefits of just having sex in general through having casual sex. But like I said, there's always a trade-off. So what are some of the potential downsides of casual sex?
Typically, when people talk about casual sex, they're like, don't catch feelings. It's right. Like feelings is like the absolute worst case scenario, that you're one cough or sneeze away from catching it in this kind of setting. And so, of course, I think that is a potential downside or risk of casual sex that needs to be mentioned, right? If you are entering into a contract or an agreement with another person or persons plural under the guise of, we're not going to have romantic or intimate or ongoing feelings for each other. If that breaches for one person, which can happen, you know, that would be an issue. And the reason that can happen is that you're spending time with a person, you're getting all the feel-good hormones associated with sex, connection, cuddling, orgasm, pleasure, and you're really starting to get to know a person in this very intimate setting that not a lot of people get to know them in, even if they're the most promiscuous person, you are getting to know a very specific side of them.
You're right. It's funny how a lot of people talk about catching feelings as kind of the worst part of casual sex. It's kind of like feelings are the worst disease that you can catch from doing this. You know, it's like, why is that so bad, you know? And I guess a question to ask yourself is, what would be so bad if feelings did emerge? Like, why am I so afraid of having feelings or developing feelings for another person? And, you know, that might speak to some issues that you might want to think about or unpack there with relation to attachment insecurity or other issues like that. So, you know, what's going on there where you might be afraid of those feelings? But of course, there can be other downsides to casual sex as well. You know, for instance, some people find that it's just not fulfilling for them. It doesn't really meet their needs in the way that they thought it would. And, you know, this kind of gets into my next question, which is how to know whether casual sex is right for you. You know, I think there are lots of people who seem to be under the impression that anybody should be able to have casual sex and enjoy it, but I don't think that's right. You know, I think casual sex is great for some people, but it's not right for everyone. So how do you know whether casual sex might be right for you? What are some questions someone should ask themselves if they're thinking about this?
So something I like to say about casual sex is that it can be great, but having casual sex when you do not want casual sex, for example, you would prefer sex in a partnered situation, is like having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich when what you really want is a turkey club, right? You're still getting a sandwich, but it's really not the kind of sandwich sex that you are after. And so for folks, I think it can be really helpful to realize, okay, so when I say that I want casual sex, like what is it that I'm actually saying? Is it that I'm saying that I want to have access to physical touch? Is it that I want to be witnessed in my orgasm? Is it that I am just touch deprived and, you know, this is my best way of accessing that? In terms of figuring out if it's for you, I think it comes to figuring out, one, how comfortable are you having sex, period? If you're pretty comfortable having sex, I think it can be a good option. Two, how comfortable are you with talking about sex, talking about pleasure, talking about the potential risks of sex, talking about the parts of sex that we typically don't talk about? You know, for some folks, I do think casual sex can help them develop that lexicon and that dialogue and that comfort. And also, I think it can be really tricky to have a good, pleasurable casual sex experience if this is your first time ever naming what it is that you're looking for in bed, ever asking somebody what their current STI status is, ever expressing what birth control you either are on or not on, and so forth. I think it can also be a good option for folks who are able to really recognize that feeling something is not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, right? So for example, you might have casual sex and after the mind-blowing sex you have, right? Dream scenario, it's mind-blowing sex. You could feel really in love with that person, right? You are flooded with chemicals. Mm-hmm. You're cuddling them. You're laying together and you're thinking, oh, this is just like, this is so good. That doesn't necessarily mean that you do love them. And even if you automatically did, you know, have those kinds of feelings, that is neither good or bad. It's just a thing that you're experiencing. So I think the ability to perceive what is happening to you without judgment or without shame makes somebody a good candidate for casual sex. I think if you currently already have a sex life that is littered with shame and self-judgment, casual sex can be a really tricky territory to go into because it opens up places where kindness to yourself is essential and where you may not have developed that muscle adequately.
Yeah, I think those are all great points. And I really want to underscore that part about, you know, questioning like, do I really want to have casual sex and why do I want to have it? And so a helpful exercise might be to think about times when you've had casual sex in the past. What was it that motivated you to want to do that? You know, oftentimes we don't sit back and reflect on what are our motivations for wanting to have sex. Like we often just think about it as like this physical arousal that then leads us to have sex. But there's so much more that goes into that, right? We have sex for a lot of different reasons. So what was it that was motivating you? And then did you get what you wanted out of it? How did you feel afterwards? And if you didn't, how could that thing have gone differently so that you might have had your needs met, right? So what is it about casual sex that is or isn't meeting your needs, right? It's one of those things where, like I said, casual sex can work really well for some people, but it works best when it's really aligned with your motivations and your goals, and everybody's getting what they want out of that situation. But all too often, like if you read online forums and you read lots of negative pieces about casual sex that go up elsewhere in the media, you find that people often aren't getting their needs met and they think casual sex is terrible, but maybe casual sex wasn't right for them in the first place and they weren't asking themselves these questions first.
I think it can also be helpful to remind folks that you can pair casual sex with casual hangouts or casual dates or casual chit chat ahead of time or after time if that's something that you want. So if you have a not so good casual sex experience and you think it's because you didn't get enough time of verbal banter ahead of time or not enough time together decompressing for aftercare after, you can tack on other activities or additional time into that casual sex experience and it can still be casual, right? You can go on a date and then have casual sex or, you know, out to dinner and then have casual sex and have that experience still be casual so long as everyone involved is on the same page that, hey, this dinner doesn't necessarily mean that we are going to become romantic partners who do this in a romantic setting.
Yeah. And I think something that's worth adding to that is that the unfortunate truth of the matter is that some people are not good casual sex partners. Mm. And so, you know, some of the people who have bad experiences with it were just with a really shitty partner, right? And sometimes what drew us to this other person was because we had this very strong physical attraction to them, but there weren't all the other elements that would need to be present there in order to make this a positive sexual experience, right? So that's, I think, one of the potentially risky things with casual sex is that if you base it all purely on physical attraction, you might potentially be putting yourselves in situations where you're with a partner who isn't going to prioritize your needs or think about some of these other things that are going to make for pleasurable experiences for you. So just as you're vetting somebody who's going to be a potential romantic partner, you also need to vet somebody who's going to be a potential casual partner to make sure that it's more than just that physical attraction and that you can feel comfortable and confident communicating with them about the things that are important and that they're going to take your pleasure seriously. Because I think that's where a lot of people feel jaded about casual sex is that they get into a situation and then it becomes all about their partner or the other person. Mm-hmm. And it just seems very one-sided.
Yeah, having a conversation with the person who you have the hots for, or the physical hots for, a conversation really of any kind about that sex can give you more intel about what kind of lover they're going to be. And also their ability to really listen to you and respect you and listen and desire to adhere to those needs, right? Because if you're having a chat with someone, you're saying, hey, I think you're really hot. I would love to bone you, but let's just like chat out, chew through what that might look like. Like, I tend to like X, Y, and Z. What do you think? And they're like, yeah. You know, that person, they're not really listening to you. They might not be someone you want to have casual sex with.
Yeah. And so, you know, that gets at another common misconception about casual sex, which is that it's just about the sex. You get together, you do your thing, and then you go your separate ways. But good casual sex involves communication, and that includes communicating about your boundaries. So tell us a little bit more about the importance of communication in casual sex, and how do you establish something like boundaries when maybe you just met them and you don't have this long-standing relationship with that person?
Yeah. So for sex of any kind, for most people, the goal is to have sex in a way that is safe and as pleasurable as possible. And so it comes down to your own risk, comfort, and your own pleasure needs in terms of what that means for you. So generally speaking, I think it's a great idea for folks to talk about their current STI status. And with casual sex partners, in particular repeat casual sex partners, you really want to get comfortable having this conversation, in particular if there are going to be other partners in between how often you have sex, right? Every time before you get together, hey, what have you been up to the last month? Like, hey, have you been STI tested recently? If the answer is no, then you might ask questions like, okay, you know, who have you been with and what was their STI status? Were you aware of it? Okay, what kind of barriers were used? Okay, were those only used for penetrative sex or was that also used for other kinds of sex, for example, oral or anal? You also want to get comfortable talking about pregnancy risk. For example, if you are having sex that could result in pregnancy or impregnation, that's something that you want to talk about. You know, what steps are we taking to prevent pregnancy, assuming that that is unwanted. You know, what birth control methods are you currently on? Okay, maybe we should use barriers. Beyond that, you know, once you cover kind of the risk awareness piece of it, let's talk about pleasure. Because just because two people want to get their rocks off doesn't necessarily mean that they have the same sexual tastes, right? For one person, their dream casual sex hookup could be laden with power dynamics, with consensual choking, with hair pulling, with all sorts of growl and bite and howling. And for somebody else, they could be looking for a casual sex experience that is full of eye contact and missionary and tender kisses and eye gazing. And those two folks likely aren't going to have a particularly good sexual experience together because they're either compromising in the middle in a way that is pretty far away from what either of them wants, or one of the other people is totally folding in and just going along with what the other person desires. And so you want to have a conversation about, hey, in your dream world, what would the next 60 minutes of sex look like for you? Or, hey, before we meet up, you know, give me the quick and dirty. What is it that you're into? What do you like? Some folks like to exchange things like their yes, no, maybe lists or their kink quiz results as just sort of a shorthand for seeing, you know, how compatible they are, what their particular sexual tastes are. And I think that's an option too. I really don't think there is a wrong way to alert a potential casual sex partner what it is that you are into, so long as you do alert them and receive that information back from them as well.
Yeah. Now, I know some people who just listen to all of that are probably thinking, but Gabrielle, that sounds so unsexy to talk about all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And it sounds like so much. Like, isn't casual sex supposed to be easy? Like, you just do it? What's your response to that?
I guess my feeling is that it's much easier to chat about when you are outside of the bedroom with all your clothes on before you're in the quote unquote heat of the moment than it is when clothes have already started to get removed and you're already doing the thing. And you know, yes, sending a text might not sound quite as sexy as, say, the type of sex we're used to seeing in movies, which is spontaneous and random and multi-orgasmic, but talking about it can really be a form of foreplay in building anticipation. You know, you don't have to phrase it as, okay, I want to make sure that we are compatible so we can do this casual sex thing together. What do you think? You know, you
say
can
it
really
in your best robot voice.
Yeah, that's my robot voice. You can do it in a way that is flirty, in a way that is fun. Like, hey, I would really like if you would taste me. Like, is that something that would be on your interest list if we do make this happen? I also think, and, you know, hear me out here. Some folks are going to roll their eyes like, Gabrielle, stop. But I love an audio note exchange of this, right? So if you are someone, or even a video, like, hey, I really want to bone you. I know this is kind of an awkward question. I just want to lay out what I'm into to make sure that we're on the same page. I think can be really fun. You know, you get to see the light in their eyes as they talk about having sex with you. You get to hear them name that they want to have sex with you. At the base of this conversation is another person's interest to have sex with you. You know, is that easy? I don't know if it's easy, but it certainly feels good. It feels really nice to hear someone just say that and name that and own that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that it feels hard because many of us just aren't used to it. We're not used to that level of sexual communication. But once you have some practice with it, it gets easier. Mm-hmm. And I think there are lots of entry points for this that can make it feel less hard. So one way, for example, is to just think about four simple words you can use to ask somebody else what their sexual interests are. You can say, what are you into? Right? Mm. This comes up all the time on gay dating and hookup apps. You know, Dan Savage has written about this extensively. Like, you can distill this down into four simple words to communicate and convey sexual interest and see whether you're likely to be compatible with that person. And then that can be a jumping off point for deeper conversations about, okay, do we share the same interests? And then from there, what else do we need to know to make sure that this is a good experience for everybody? So I think you're totally right that there isn't just one way to approach this. You got to find a way that you feel comfortable with, that you can kind of, you know, get this out there and exchange that information. I also realize that some people don't want or maybe don't need that extensive level of communication because different people have different risk tolerances. And also different people are just kind of wired differently when it comes to sex. So there are some people where an experience that might be not good at all or not so great for somebody might be just fine to somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on sort of your level of sexual excitation and sexual inhibition, right? Some people kind of need sexual experiences to always be hitting all the notes constantly because they're very high on that inhibitory side of things. And if something doesn't go quite right, it's very easy for them to like fall out of the mood or for arousal to go down. So, you know, again, lots of individual differences here in terms of how casual sex experiences are likely to work out for people.
And you mentioned dating apps in what you were saying just now. And I think that dating apps, in particular, those that have a reputation as being for things that are more casual or more sex forward, can be a really good starting point for those because many of those encourage people to put right on their profiles what they're into or have a section such as like hashtagging, you know, your particular sexual taste so that folks know. And then at least then you have a starting point. Hey, I saw on your profile, you like this. Are you up for this tonight with me?
Yeah. And maybe also consider some of the apps that are designed more for facilitating sexual connections and conversations as opposed to the dominant dating apps in the marketplace, you know, like the Tinders and so forth of the world. There are some more specialized apps that focus more on helping people to communicate about, especially things like unconventional or kinky sexual interests. And that can also lower the bar, the amount of stress that you feel, and make it easier to communicate about those things. So if you're pursuing casual sex in the world of online hookups and connections, again, do your research to figure out which app, which community feels like the best fit for me.
Yeah. And I think to name a few apps that you might look into, obviously it will depend on who you are and what you like, but Field is a great option. HUD is a great option. Grindr can be a good option. So maybe start there and see if any of those kind of align with the kind of user experiences that you're looking to have.
Yeah. So a few other things when it comes to having good casual sex. So we've talked a bit about taking care of your sexual health and being concerned about your partner's sexual health as well. So what are some of the things that you might want to think about doing to help maintain good sexual health in casual relationships? So beyond just asking your partner for their status or sharing your status, what do you need to be thinking about there?
So first thing first, it's important to know your own current STI status and to come up with some kind of plan that works for you around how often you'll get tested. And for many folks, especially those who are having casual sex, something like every 3 to 4 months tends to work well, though you may want to boost that regularity depending on how much casual sex you're having and with how many different people and with what kind of precautions. Next, you want to talk to the people that you're having casual sex with about their own current STI status, assuming that they know that, as well as what their safer sex practices are. Next, with those folks, you want to figure out, okay, where and when are we going to use barriers? So are we going to use barriers such as latex gloves when we do hand stuff? Are we going to use dental dams or external condoms when we do mouth things? Are we going to use an internal or external condom for internal vaginal or anal play? Are we going to share sex toys? And so on. So you really want to get specific about the kinds of sex that you're going to have and then figure out what you can do to mitigate risk, assuming that's something that you all want while having that kind of sex. So things that I like to talk about would be something like, I would rather you not touch me with the hand that you are touching yourself. So anytime you touch me, let's grab a new latex glove. That way I know that there's no body fluids on your hand when you're reaching for my genitals. Another example would be like, hey, I really love the sensation of analingus, but maybe we can use a dental dam anytime we do that. The risk of pregnancy there is zero, but I do want to help reduce the risk of unwanted STI transmission. So getting really specific about things like that. Another example would be, you know, I have a strap on and I travel and I'm bringing it to your house. Because we are casual sex partners, I'm going to wrap that condom up. I'm going to wrap that dildo up. I'm going to slide a condom down its length. And then if you end up later on in the evening using this dildo on me, we will switch out the condoms to make sure that there is reduced risk of body fluid transmission. So there are some really nitty-gritty details that you want to think about when you're talking about this. It can also be helpful to just, you know, if you were doing a we pleasure one person and then we pleasure another person type scenario, you just go into the bathroom and wash your hands, right? All of these things are normal and common, and it's okay if there are pauses or interruptions to sex. It is not always go, 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 go without fear, without switching up barriers, things like that.
Yeah. And one other thing to add to all of this, you raise a lot of excellent points there, is just because you're in a casual relationship with someone doesn't always mean that it's non-monogamous. You know, sometimes people might have a monogamous casual relationship. I know it sounds like an oxymoron or like a weird thing to some people, but for some people, they do that because it's an STI risk mitigation strategy, right? So neither partner wants a romantic relationship right now, but they still want to tap into the benefits of sex and they don't want anything beyond that. And so they might agree to have a casual relationship for some period of time, but they're not going to see other people. And then maybe they can feel more confident and secure in protecting their sexual health. So, you know, it might also be worth just being on the same page about, are you seeing other people or not? Because sometimes even in casual relationships, there's kind of like this expectation of exclusivity, which doesn't always happen. So just lots of things to think about there.
Yes. More to communicate about, you know, who else, if anyone, are you seeing or do you have the intention of seeing?
Yeah. Now, one of the tricky things when it comes to casual sex, and you mentioned this toward the top of the show, and this is the thing that can lead to some awkwardness and some drama, is when somebody's feelings change. You know, it's possible that somebody starts to develop a crush or romantic feelings, but at the same time, it's also possible that someone might lose interest in the arrangement and they might want to end things. Both of these situations can get awkward, such as when somebody starts treating this like a romantic relationship when it's not, or when somebody just totally disengages and then they ghost the other person. Like, ghosting can happen in casual relationships too. So how do you communicate a change in feelings, whether it's I want more or I want less, without creating awkwardness, drama, or pain? It's probably not possible to avoid those things entirely, but how can you best communicate a change in feelings?
Yeah. So I say, one, be honest about those feelings. Not being honest is not honoring the contract that you and the other person created when you entered into a casual dynamic, because your feelings are no longer casual. And then two, you know, either pose a question to them or make a firm decision. So what might that look like? I think you should know that I'm starting to feel myself develop some actual feelings for you. So if that's mutual, I'd love to continue doing what we're doing. But if it's not, I want to press pause on the sexual piece. So you are stating where your feelings are, and then you're kind of posing a question. Where are your feelings currently? Another example of this might be, hey, this was great. For the sake of transparency, I'm feeling myself get a little bit crushy on you. I'm curious if those feelings are reciprocal. Totally okay if the answer is no, but I want to be forthcoming with you. Another example would be, and this, I believe these questions can happen either via text or in person. I don't actually think that there is a reason why these kinds of conversations can't happen over text, in particular if they won't happen in person because you're either feeling too shy or too just nervous to actually get it out in person, is to say, hey, I don't know about you. I'm starting to develop feelings. Why don't you think about what you want, if you might want more, and then talk to me? And that gives the other person an invitation to really explore their own feelings and the potential there, and then to let you know where they stand. Is it vulnerable to pose a question like that for somebody? Of course it is, right? You're saying like, here is my heart. Do you want it? And then you're giving the other person the opportunity to say yes, no, maybe. But it also allows you to honor that those feelings are there, right? And those feelings are there whether you're honest about them with this casual partner or not.
Yeah, I think those are all great suggestions. And I have just one more question for you, which is about communicating a different change in feelings. So, you know, short of ghosting someone, which we know does not feel good, what can you do to say this has kind of run its course and you're ready to move on, or that you don't want to keep hooking up anymore?
First things first, please do not ghost. It's unkind. And at risk of sounding a little bit woo-woo, I do believe that if you treat someone else like that, you are putting out kind of a negative dating energy into the world that could come back and really hurt you later on. And I know that's more of a woo-woo sort of karmic belief, but I'm really a proponent of treating others how you want to be treated. So do not ghost. Second, I love a compliment sandwich, right? So statement number one is, I have loved having sex with you. Like, you're so good at giving head. I'm realizing that I'm looking for something more serious. And so I'd like to press stop on this commitment that you and I have made to each other, or on this interaction that you and I have been having. But I want you to know I really value the time that we shared together. Another example would be, I've loved having casual sex with you for the last few months. I'm finally feeling ready to really date intentionally. And I can just feel in my gut that we are not each other's forever people. So I want to end this dynamic, but I want you to know I'd love to be friends if that feels accessible to you. So I think give them a compliment about the awesome sex you've been having. Share what it is that you're actually looking for, be it a different kind of compatibility, a different kind of relationship, and then either offer another compliment or some kind of olive branch should that be something you want to extend.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could all communicate like that? Everything would just feel so much better.
Everyone loves a little bit of words of affirmation.
Yes, they do, even in those casual relationships. So thank you so much for this amazing conversation, Gabrielle. It was truly a pleasure to have you here. Can you please tell my listeners where they can go to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, I am at Gabrielle Cassell on all social platforms. I am most active on Instagram, and you can also find my work at GabrielleCassell.com. And keep an eye out for my byline. I'm published all over the internet on brands like Women's Health, Cosmopolitan, Well and Good, Men's Health, and so on. So would love for you to give my work your eyes.
Well, thanks again for your time, and I'll be sure to include links to your work in the show notes.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you for listening. To keep up with new episodes of this podcast, visit my website, Sex and Psychology, at sexandpsychology.com, or subscribe on your favorite platform, where I hope you'll take a moment to rate and review the show. You can also follow me on the socials for daily sex research updates. I'm on Twitter and TikTok at Justin Lehmiller and Instagram at Justin J. Lehmiller. Also, be sure to check out my book, Tell Me What You Want. And if you have a question you'd like me to answer on a future episode of this show, you can leave me a podcast voicemail at speakpipe.com/sexandpsychology. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.